Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person and those of you who are joining us online. As you've hopefully already noticed, the Fellowship Committee has done a harvest installation with Thanksgiving approaching this week, and it's beautiful. So thank you to the Fellowship Committee for doing this. And I think they've already got some plans for a couple of things coming up, including the third Sunday of Advent, December 17th, they're going to have a cookie exchange where you bring cookies, everybody brings cookies, and you swap and your Christmas baking will be covered. So be on the lookout for information about that. Today is the third Sunday of the month, and so we're taking up our basket offering. This month, the basket offering is going to the Pastor's Discretionary Fund, and I want to thank you for your support of this fund. This is a fund that I can use at my discretion to support folks in our church community, in the wider community. It's a fund that I can use. I just bought a book this week for somebody going through something, and it's a book that I think will really help support them. I buy a few things for worship with this. There are a lot of different things that I use it for, and so I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be able to do that. This coming week, starting on Wednesday and going through the next Wednesday, I'm going to be taking a week off. Hopefully it will be a week of rest and refreshment and renewal to get my battery charged back up for the season of Advent. I'm going to take a break from my phone, and so if you need anything or if there is a pastoral emergency, if you'll reach out to David Brown, our council president, if it's an emergency and he thinks I need to know about it, he'll reach out and let me know in that way. So just keep in mind, I'm on vacation and I'm taking a break from my phone. There are sign-up sheets at the end of the ramp for 2024 altar flowers and the Mother's Rose Garden if you'd like to sign up. And once we get over to the fellowship hall this afternoon, I have some Advent materials for you if you'd like. We've got candles for Advent wreaths at home, and we've got some devotionals as well. We have a few birthdays this week. Andy Beck, whose birthday is actually today. Happy birthday, Andy. And Jacob and Wilson have their 18th birthday this week. That's very exciting as well. And then Jay Proctor is remembering his baptism. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And finally, after worship is our scholarship luncheon. Do you have anything you want to let us know, Joe?
Good morning. I was thinking back over the last couple of weeks that, you know, our scholarship committee has been in place, or scholarship funds been in place over 30 years. And in that time period, we have doled out over $100,000 from this congregation in scholarship gifts for our members. So after church today, we have baked spaghetti from Southern Lunch coming in. We'll have salad, we'll have bread. I've got to go back down there and finish cooking, but I'll have gluten-free baked spaghetti as well. I made some this week. It's pretty good. I can't tell the difference. So, you know, F-O-O-D works. So, and there'll be gluten-free bread as well, and I'll have it marked. Thank you so very much for everyone that has donated. We have almost 70 items down there. And I apologize if you need to change your child today or your adult. It doesn't matter which one. Jennifer says I need diapers anyway. So If you need to use the nursery, I apologize. But we've got things in the nursery, in the Sunday school classroom, across the hall. I have set up another table for items that have come in. We've got sheets there for that. There's a small table outside right in the hall between the two rooms that has some food items on, well, has food items on the sheets. Turkey, Boston butts, crock pot of dumplings, chicken and dumplings, stuff like that. So there's plenty of stuff. So, you know, we'll also have a basket for donations, should you choose not to. If you don't want to buy something, you can make a donation to help offset the cost. But we greatly appreciate everything that the congregation does, and there are folks here, or folks not here with us, that had an integral part in starting the scholarship as well. So this is a wonderful part of our ministry at Holly Grove, and we want it to keep going. If you brought something and we don't have it labeled, when you come down there, let us know. If you brought a dessert and you didn't put your name on it or anything, we would like to know, because we want to thank you personally for that. So if you could do that, Jennifer's down there and she's writing names on them. There are a few samples, okay? There's some samples, there's some mints, there's some chess cake, a couple of oatmeal cookies down there. But you gotta stay, Neil, at least until service. But there are a few things down there for you to sample, so you can get a little bit of the sweet after the salty from the spaghetti. So again, thank you very much, and God bless you all.
Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who greets us in this and every season, whose love never fails, whose promise is sure. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned. We have hurt our community. We have squandered your blessings. We have hoarded your bounty. We have failed to be honest. We have lacked the courage to speak. We have spoken falsely. In the name of Jesus, forgive us and grant us your mercy. The triune God offers us boundless grace when we fail. Receive and live into the gift of God's mercy. You are freed and forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Righteous God, our merciful Master, you own the earth and all its peoples, and you give us all that we have. Inspire us to serve you with justice and wisdom, and prepare us for the joy of the day of your coming. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a children's message. Good morning, Pal. Good morning, Sawyer. Good morning, Brantley. Good morning, Maddie. You gonna come sit by me over here? Sure. Hi, Cameron. Hello, Kate. Here, I've got room here. We'll all squeeze together. Good morning, everybody. You guys doing okay today? There we go. Can Cameron squeeze in? Perfect. Room enough for everybody. Well, we have officially started a new group of confirmation students, and one of the things that we did last time, we're doing again, right, Conrad? We are trying to stump the pastor, because if you can stump the pastor, what do you get? Red's Donuts the next time we meet. And so they're already taking this challenge very seriously, and Conrad tried a couple of times today to stump me. Well, there's one thing that I've been thinking about this week that I really don't know much about, and that is what it was like for Jesus when he was a little boy. Yeah. You know, we often think about Jesus being a tiny baby in the manger, and we know about Jesus as a grown-up adult, but we don't know a lot about him as a little boy, do we? No, there's one story in the Bible about Jesus as a little boy, but that's all we know. But I think Jesus was a kind boy. I bet Jesus loved to play and have fun with his friends. I bet Jesus helped his mom and helped his dad. But one of the things that we kind of know, even though it's not in the Bible, is that Jesus was a really faithful Jewish little boy and man. And one of the things that Jewish people do is they pray before a meal, thanking God for the food and asking God to bless it. And they pray after the meal, thanking God for the meal and for providing it. And because Jesus was a really faithful Jew, we can know that Jesus not only prayed for his meals before he ate them, but he also prayed thanksgiving after. And I thought maybe this week with Thanksgiving coming up, maybe that's something we could do a little bit, that we pray before our meals and we pray after, thanking God for our meals. And it doesn't have to be anything long or complicated. So what are some things we could say before the meal in our prayer? Do you guys have a prayer that you pray at home usually? Some people sing prayers. It can be as simple as, God, thank you for this food and bless it to our bodies. We just have to thank God. And the prayer that this book shares, this is a prayer for Jewish children. And this is likely the prayer that Jesus would have prayed as a little boy and as an adult, because this is a centuries-old prayer. So you pray this after your meal. Thank you, God, who provides our food. Help us to share what we have and to care for those who are hungry. Isn't that a lovely prayer? You thank God for your food, and then you ask God to help you share and take care of those who are hungry, who don't have food. So maybe this week, as we're eating all our delicious meals and all the delicious desserts, we can thank God for our food before our meal, and maybe we can thank God after and ask God to help us share with those who are hungry. Maybe we give it a try. Would you pray with me? Yeah. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for our church. Help us to have grateful hearts and help us to share with those who are in need in any way. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You can go to Children's Church with Tina this morning.
The Apostle lesson is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now concerning the times of the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is a peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and like a thief, for you are children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep at night, and those who are drunk get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined for us for what wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. This morning's gospel reading is a little bit lengthy, so with that in mind, I invite you to be seated. The Holy Gospel of Matthew, according to the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. For it is if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them, and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 of the talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And for the one with 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him,
"Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received one talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I gotta tell you, I'm pretty excited for Advent. I know it doesn't start for 2 more weeks, but I think this is the earliest I've been completely ready in the last maybe 5 or 10 years for Advent. As for all of us, we've got devotionals that you can pick up later. We've got candles for our Advent wreaths. The worship services are planned both Sunday morning and Wednesday evenings. The Wednesday evening meals are planned. I think we are ready to begin Advent. And I hope and pray that for all of us, that it's going to be a meaningful season of waiting and preparing, both as individuals and as a congregation. You know, for years, Advent for me was less of a season of preparing and waiting for Jesus to come as it was counting down the days to the end of the semester, until the last exam had been taken, until the last paper had been written, waiting for the stress to be gone, waiting for rest. Then, and only then, did I have the emotional and mental capacity to think about Jesus coming. But I have to confess to you that even in the years that I haven't been a student, my Advents are mostly focused on Jesus' first coming. I spend way more time thinking about Jesus coming as a baby at Christmas than I do on Jesus coming again and his second Advent. I think all of us know on some level that Advent is about preparing for both of Jesus' coming, right? We say each week in the Apostles' Creed that we believe he'll come again to judge the living and the dead. And each week in the Communion Liturgy, we say, remembering therefore his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. We await his coming in glory. But I wonder if the truth actually is that we sort of avoid his coming in glory. We avoid thinking about it. We just avoid it altogether. Do we really await his coming in glory? Well, I think we avoid it because, one, we don't really know how to think about it and what to make of it. Right? We avoid thinking about it because, especially the past couple of 100 years, the false teaching about the rapture has taken over American theology. By the way, there won't be a rapture and nobody will be left behind. Jesus isn't coming to take anyone away. Jesus is coming to return to earth and to fully establish the kingdom of God here on this earth. But the truth is, this thing about the rapture that we've heard makes us think we're going to go away somewhere. And so Jesus isn't actually coming, we're going. And so we don't really know how to think about it. But the truth is that we hear Jesus talk about himself coming again over and over in the Gospels. We read about it over and over again in Paul's letters because it's foundational to who Jesus is, and it's the foundational truth that the early church rested its hope upon. But I think there might be another reason we avoid thinking about Jesus' second coming. Perhaps we avoid thinking about it because the details are unknown. And a lot of us don't necessarily like things that are uncertain because it can be unsettling, maybe even a little bit scary. And maybe one more reason we avoid thinking about Jesus coming again instead of awaiting it is that we might think it doesn't apply to us. Unlike the early church and the Apostle Paul, we don't think that Jesus will come again in our lifetimes. They were certain that he would, but we've got 2,000 years of history behind us where Jesus hasn't returned yet. And so maybe we don't feel like it's imminent, and we wonder maybe if Jesus' second coming even applies to us. Well, in today's gospel lesson, we get to hear Jesus teaching his followers some important truths about that in-between time, the same in-between time that we are living in, that in-between time between his ascension and when he will come again. And he's teaching them some important truths about how they are to live in light of what he will do in the future. And the will do part is certain, even if we don't know when it is. But what he will do. Really quick, before we jump in, I just want to remind us that parables aren't intended to be strict allegories. This doesn't always equal this, and this doesn't always equal this. Instead, parables are meant to give us a glimpse of an idea or a glimpse of a way of living that is otherwise difficult to describe. And that's what Jesus is doing here. In this parable, he's teaching his followers, including us, how we are to live as we await his return. We know this parable as the parable of the talents, and there are places where I cringe on the inside as I read it because I think, what is Jesus trying to say here? This doesn't sound like the heart of Jesus that I know. But the gist is that the master entrusted three servants with massively large amounts of money while he was away. The first two were creative and wise and very fruitful with what the master had entrusted them with. But then there's that third servant. And I think this is where we get a bit tripped up, because the third servant wasn't a bad man, right? He didn't squander the money. He didn't use it for his own benefit. He just didn't take any chances. He played it safe. But we completely pass over why. It was because of fear. His actions were driven by fear. And it got me to thinking about how we let fear keep us from living as faithfully as we can. How we let fear cause us to keep from trusting God. How we let fear paralyze us sometimes. How we let fear cause us to bury the talents that God has given us. Instead of living in hope and trust, we bury the treasures that God has given us. We bury too much time We bury too much love. We bury too much goodness. We bury too much forgiveness. We bury whatever it is because we're afraid of losing it. We're afraid of disappointment, disappointing ourselves, disappointing others. We're afraid of shame. We're afraid of scarcity. We are afraid. And far too often, we let fear drive our actions. Listen to this quote by newspaper columnist Irma Bombeck. She writes, "When I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left and could say, 'I've used everything you gave me. I've used everything you gave me. God, I've loved you with my whole heart. God, I've loved you with my whole mind, with my whole body, with all of my strength. Not just partial amounts and not just little bits here and there. But God, we have used everything that you've given us. We've used all of who we are to love you and to love others.'" Jesus isn't teaching his followers about the future here. He's teaching them and us how we are to live here and now. And we're to live always with the end in mind. Not because we're afraid of the end, but so that we can be prepared for it. We are called to live prepared and faithful lives now. Because the truth is, brothers and sisters, none of us are promised another day. None of us. We can't wait until we die or we're on our deathbed to tell somebody that we love them or that we're sorry. We can't wait until our death gets closer, until we start living, until we start serving God with all of who we are. We are called to live as though the end is now, so that when the end does come, we are fully and completely prepared. Because none of us is promised another day. And none of us knows when Jesus will return. And I think that's the point, right? Because if we knew, we would procrastinate. We'd wait until it got closer, like someone cramming for an exam the night before, instead of preparing for it in the days and weeks ahead of time. Jesus calls his followers, Jesus calls us to live a life of constant and faithful preparedness, to live out this active form of waiting. Like those first two servants, we're called to roll up our sleeves and get to work. Get to work loving God and our neighbors with all of who we are and all that we have. We're to roll up our sleeves, using God's gifts to bring heaven a little bit more to earth. We need to roll up our sleeves, using God's gifts in ways that amplify and multiply love and hope, peace and goodness in the world, in ways that bring healing, in ways that bring justice, in ways that bring hope. So whether in our death or when Jesus comes again, whichever comes first, may we not be caught off guard. And may we not be afraid. May we live our lives in hope and trust, not fear, so that we will be able to say, "God, I used everything you gave me." Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Gracious God, you give talents and gifts to all your people, and you equip the church to serve. Turn us from fear and self-serving ways, that we use our talents to glorify you and encourage our neighbor. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You have been our dwelling place from one generation to another. Sustain the life of the planet. Protect farmlands and harvest. Direct all people in wise stewardship of all the earth resources. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You have been our dwelling place from one generation to another. You teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart where there is sickness or sorrow. Bring healing, and where there is loyalness, reveal your love and community. We remember before your, especially Bill, Paul, and Carolina, Bobby and Jane, Caroline, Greg, Bonnie, Chip, Rebecca, the family of Aldine, Conrad, and all those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for our faith, for the faith formation ministers of our church. Give to all children, youth, and adults who study your word the breastplate of faith and love. Shape us by your love and show us how to encourage one another. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gracious God, you are faithful in all generations. For the promise of life and rest, and for the witness of those who have died in faith, we praise your goodness. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Thank you.
pray together. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we may be for the world signs of your gracious presence. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All people are called to Christ's table. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Have mercy on us. Thank you.
For the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Pray together. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast. The body and blood of your Son, by the Spirit, strengthen us.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us recite our mission statement together. As the united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education
and respond in loving action to the needy world.
Thank you.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.